Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to get a legislative update from the recent session, meet with the new DAV commander, and check in with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Since its birth on June 14, 1775, over a year before the Declaration of Independence, the United States Army has played a vital role in the growth and development of our nation. It all started in the spring of 1775, recognizing the need to enlist the support of all the American seaboard colonies. The Massachusetts Provincial Congress appealed to the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia to assume authority for the New England Army. Congress voted to adapt the Boston troops and resolved to form a committee to bring in a draft of rules and regulations for the government of an army. George Washington received his appointment as Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army on July 3, 1775, and the rest is history. The Army's birthday is a celebration of our traditions and service to the nation. It's crucial for us to uphold these values to continue being the greatest land force in the world. Happy birthday, Army.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to Minnesota Military Radio. com. As I said at the top, we're going to get a legislative update, and Ben Johnson currently serves as the legislative director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. He joined the agency in November 2014 and is responsible for legislative relations and policy, development of MDVA policy initiatives, supporting the budget and capital investment development processes, and overseeing agency legislative strategies. Ben, that's quite a list of duties.
I keep pretty busy.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Before we talk about the state legislature, I want to talk about the Navy. It's one of your favorite topics, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You served there.
I did. I spent 6 years active duty starting after September 11th and did 3 deployments.
And didn't stick around for 20.
No, sir. My wife and I decided after one enlistment that was good enough. We wanted to come home to Minnesota and start a family.
Well, it looks like you're going to stick around the MDVA for 20 or more.
That's the goal, sir, yes.
All right. Now, when you started at the MDVA, you didn't start as a legislative director, as I recall.
That's correct. I actually started in the Programs and Services Division in the State Soldiers Assistance Program. So that was some direct activity with veteran service organizations, county veteran service officers, and veterans specifically.
And then a few years back, the guy that was the legislative director took a new post. I think it was chief of staff or something, and you slid into legislative director, and you've been smiling ever since.
That's a correct statement. Yes.
Tell me before we get into what happened at the state legislature. What's the relationship between the MDVA and the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the 8 federally chartered veteran service organizations?
We have a great relationship with the Commander's Task Force. They are a resource like no other, I think, in the state in terms of stakeholders and access to the entire state's veterans population. So they are a direct conduit to their posts throughout the state, and they are able to communicate to those members of those posts, members of their organizations, and do the outreach and then bring ideas back to the table for us to develop new programs, new ideas, and then really rely on them to motivate their members to contact the legislators so that they're hearing directly from their constituents.
So they set up a legislative agenda each year, and they combine their membership and go up to Capitol Hill on Veterans Day on the Hill to try to talk to our elected officials about the items that are of most concern.
That's correct, and they do a really good job of distilling their priorities into the top 2 or 3 items that would really make the most difference to their membership and to the veterans throughout the state. They work hard to support the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs legislative agenda, and we work hard to support their efforts as well. So that collaboration is really important.
Okay, so Ben, last year, I understand we had a historic event up at the state capitol, at the state legislature, where we had what was called a Veterans Omnibus Bill, first time ever. Can you describe to our listeners, what does that mean?
Sure. It was historic. The Veterans Omnibus Bill is the first time in recent memory that they combined all of the veterans and military affairs related legislation, budget items, policy initiatives, anything related to veterans. They put it all in one bill and passed it in a way that that all legislators could get behind it, so that we could secure support for something without the political bickering or without utilizing veterans' issues as a bargaining chip or a negotiating tactic. It really was able to focus the efforts of the legislature on veterans issues and would benefit veterans regardless of if you're represented by a blue or a red legislator.
And prior to last year, the veterans issues were lumped into huge omnibus bills with all kinds of other issues and a lot of politics involved, and you never knew what was going to stay in or get thrown out at the end of the sessions, and you just never knew, did you?
You didn't, and it really became part of the politics of the moment was a gotcha. If you vote against this, you're voting against veterans' benefits. If you vote for this, you're voting for something that would harm veterans. And they had included it in veterans' issues. They had included in things like the state government finance bill, or a number of years ago, it was associated with the agricultural bill, of all things. So really to pull it out and pull the veterans' issues out and have that be the focus allowed legislators to agree on things and come together and really have that consensus and not use the veterans in the state as political football.
And last year it worked so well that everyone except one elected official voted for it. So that's about as unanimous as you can get. And it worked really well.
It did. It worked great. And as we came to say, once is happenstance, let's make it precedent. Let's try and make this the recurring standard normal process to get veterans and military affairs issues through the legislative process.
We're speaking with Ben Johnson, the legislative director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. And Ben, that leads us to this question. The session legislature is done. They passed their bills. Did we get another separate veterans bill passed this year?
It took some doing at the end there, but yes, we did. We got another standalone veterans and military affairs omnibus bill. It passed the legislature nearly unanimously. There were some holdouts for some items. Some of the legislators had ideas about things that should have been included that weren't. So it was a few more voted against it in both chambers in the end. But on May 15th, Governor Walz did sign the omnibus military and veterans affairs bill, and we're hoping that year two is not just another one-off and that it's something we can build on going forward.
So does 2 years in a row establish a tradition?
I like that. Yeah, tradition's a good way to describe it.
We hope that works.
Yes, sir.
Ben, I know one of the things that passed last year was a post-9/11 service bonus, and they allocated a bunch of money and I think we used most of it up. Did we get a chance to add some more funds to that?
We did. We've been really successful in distributing the $25 million that was approved last year. I think we're north of $21 million has been out the door. This year, we came back for some additional funding to make sure that any eligible veteran in the state of Minnesota who had an interest in securing the bonus could access it. We also made some changes. The legislature saw fit to support us financially, but they also expanded the pool of eligible veterans. So last year, it was limited to Minnesota veterans who had enlisted or started their service in the state of Minnesota. And when we went back to the legislature this year, we said that this is the only program or benefit in the state that doesn't serve all veterans who currently live here. We should eliminate that requirement. It should be any veteran who's currently living in the state of Minnesota, regardless of where they started, should be eligible for this bill, this bonus. And that passed in addition to the additional funding, as well as the add of the Inherent Resolve Campaign Medal, which is a new medal that would allow for a higher level of bonus for resident veterans.
So, Ben, since that passed, does that fall to the MDVA to make sure that the veterans in Minnesota know who's eligible and how to apply for it and how to get the money?
It does, and Minnesota Military Radio, sir.
Yeah, well, we'll scream it from the hot mountains if we can find a mountain. Let's get it out there.
Yes, sir. We're working with our partners in state agencies to be ready to start processing the new applications. We expect there to be an influx. Starting July 1 is when this should go live for the new funding and the new eligibility. So at that point, please reach out to your county veteran service officers or MDVA to connect on that application process.
And as usual, if they've got questions, want to call, they just need to use 1-888-LINK-VET.
Absolutely.
They'll get somebody down to your place or go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website.
Yep, minnesotaveteran.org.
Minnesota Veteran, okay, and they can find all kinds of information, but it's always best to start with your county veteran service officer.
They next to the commander's task force, I would say that the county veteran service officers, as boots on the ground, have some of the best outreach in the state.
So anything that's related to your service when you were in the military, if you had an injury, if you had a medical problem, if you just want to find your DD-214, if you don't have a copy of it, go to your local county veteran service officer. Get to meet them. They're there to help you, and they're trained to know where all the resources are.
Absolutely. That's 100% right.
All right. So always remember, go to your county veteran service officer. Ben, we got to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the recent legislative session and the veterans bill. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Ben Johnson, who's the legislative director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Ben, another success, 2 years in a row. We got a separate veterans bill, and there's a lot of stuff in it. And of course, you'll be working with the Commander's Task Force for the agenda for the next year. It's coming up only in about 6 months, so it never ends for you. But I want to talk a little bit. Can you tell us about the Minnesota GI Bill expansion? Was that in there as well?
It was, and I would like to back up and say again, this year's Veterans Omnibus Bill is pretty historic, one of the largest influxes of new funding that the agency has ever received. I think a total of more than $90 million in new funding for agency activities. So it's historic in that way. It's also historic in that this Minnesota GI Bill changes make it a little bit easier for those who have served to continue their opportunities to secure some educational benefits. So the Minnesota GI Bill is a last dollar in program, but it had been pretty static in the amount of money that was available to veterans who were seeking higher education. Hadn't changed much in about a decade. And also it limited who could access the full amount of GI Bill benefits, Minnesota GI Bill benefits, in that if you were a full-time student, you were eligible to access $3,000 per year and $10,000 per lifetime. But if you were a part-time student, it was more limited. You could only receive $500 a year. So we went to the legislature this year and asked them to eliminate the restrictions on part-time versus full-time students. Just treat all veteran students the same for higher education purposes, and also to try and keep pace with the cost of higher education to increase the amount that was available per year per individual up to $5,000, and also an opportunity to increase the amount of lifetime availability. So instead of $10,000 for the lifetime, it was increased to $15,000 per lifetime.
So you got all that done?
We did.
Fantastic. Well, those are going to be something that you've got another challenge. You've got to make sure the veterans of Minnesota are aware of those changes. And, of course, they come back to you or go to their county veteran service officer once again. So the best thing to do is go see your county veteran service officer and say, what did the state legislature do and how's it going to help me?
Right. And we will be producing some materials, working with the MDVA's communications team to put together a booklet that'll be available to both online and in person at the County Veteran Service offices. That is a summary of what was included in the legislative session and for bills that would benefit veterans and their families.
And we'll have a chance to talk about more of this, and maybe at the State Fair Show we can talk about some of those education benefits, those type of things.
Looking forward to it.
The Hastings Veteran Home. I understand that you're in there looking for some money to remodel construction. I'm not sure what all. How did that come through?
It came through swimmingly. The agency is currently building three new veterans homes in the state of Minnesota. We've also been making improvements at campuses throughout the state, including some new buildings at Minneapolis. But one of our oldest facilities is the Minnesota Veterans Home located down at Hastings. That campus started its life as the Asylum for the Insane as a state institution in 1902, and there are buildings currently in use that date back to that time frame. So we went to the legislature this year as a capital investment priority and said we'd like to tear these old buildings down and build something new that would more adequately support the veterans who are residents of that home, bring them all into an updated facility, and make it easier for them to receive the services that they deserve. And the legislature at the last minute came together on a historic bonding bill and included appropriations to MDVA for an application to the federal VA to tear down the Hastings campus, some of the residential buildings, and put up a brand new standalone structure. They authorized $77.8 million. Now we get to go to the feds to make up the other 65% to get this project started.
What a great start to that thing. Now, the Hastings home they refer to as a domiciliary, hard word for me to say. So it's a little different from the other homes. Is that going to stay a little different than the existing homes and the three new homes that are coming?
Yes. Thank you for that question. The DOMS program, as we call it, instead of trying to muddle through domiciliary. The DOMS program is not skilled nursing. It is a lower level of care, but no less necessary. It really is for veterans who are seeking assistance with mental or chemical health problems, maybe just aren't successful living independently in the community. but don't require full skilled care. So there's an option in the state of Minnesota for veterans who need some help to come into a situation where they've got physicians and staff on site. It is a permanent residence for them. It is their home. But then they have access to benefits and services, and the team down at Hastings does great work.
So those veterans can come and go a little bit, but they have a home and they have help when they need it.
That's exactly right. And really the goal of upgrading the campus is to make life better for them as well. Currently, some of them share rooms. They have a shared restrooms on their floors. The goal is to get independent rooms and private restrooms for every veteran that calls the Hastings campus home.
Those veterans will all be saying amen.
Yes, sir.
Give me a little privacy and help me when I need it. What a great program. We're speaking with Ben Johnson, Legislative Director from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on Minnesota Military Radio. Ben, I want to talk a little bit. We've got three new veterans homes under construction. We've got a new veterans cemetery here in Minnesota all coming up. And I think you've got some money to help get some fixtures and hire some people and do some things. Were they a beneficiary of this session as well?
They were. And yeah, the three new homes coming online this year, first up late summer, early fall, will be the Preston Veterans Home. And then we've got Bemidji and Montevideo coming online as well. And in addition to the Redwood County Cemetery that's coming online this fall, and we'll be doing ribbon cuttings and ground celebrating those new buildings, those new facilities again later this year. The bill this year did include some pretty significant funding commitments for opening the new homes, making sure that they're staffed and operated appropriately. So all three homes had dedicated funding, as well as a pretty significant increase for all of our cemetery operations, some more dedicated funding to make sure that the three existing cemeteries, Little Falls, our original one, Preston and Duluth, make sure that they're all making ends meet, but then to make sure that they have ongoing staffing support, that we can make sure that they're all providing that the appropriate level of care and concern for our veterans and their families.
So if I'm hearing this right, they had the funding to build these new homes and to build the cemetery, but you got some funds to actually operate them once you opened them up?
We did, and the legislature came through for it. It's very important, and when they authorized state funding to build the three new homes, they made a commitment in that legislative session to make sure that they were operated at the requisite levels, and that meant that they had to commit to funding. And this year they came through swimmingly, and we got exactly what we asked for, and it was a big win for us.
Now, Ben, I got a two-part follow-up question for you. Are you hiring for your existing homes, and are you starting to hire for these new homes in the new cemetery?
We are. We are always looking for good help for our existing veterans' homes. All of the five that are currently operating have vacancies and are available through the state's hiring system. Our HR team does amazing work and is always looking for new help. The three new homes are also in the process of hiring. All of them have the administrators hired. Senior leadership is on board, and we are beginning to fill out the ranks of that senior leadership so that we can onboard and train folks so that when they're open and we've got that certification that they're ready to start serving our residents.
So if our listeners are interested in joining your team, how do they do it?
I again would have to point to the Minnesota veteran.org website. That's the best place to find additional initial information.
We'll get them there. They can go to 1-888-LINK-VET, or they can go to your website and they can get more information on that. And I don't have the right thing either, so my fault, Ben.
Thank you.
But I want to emphasize this, that if you don't have the staff to take care of the veterans and all the beds, you can't fill the beds. So that applies to existing homes and to the new homes. So we need to get enough good staff that care about veterans so that we can make use of every available bed in the state.
That's right. And really staffing for our homes is a job that I think is very rewarding. You're working with and on behalf of some of the real heroes in our state, and I know that it is an area where staffing challenges throughout that industry are pretty prevalent, but there are some great benefits in addition to just the rewarding work of being on staff at a veterans home.
Ben, we just got a few seconds left. Any last thoughts about this recent legislative session? You've had two great sessions in a row.
We have. And what I'd like to do is call out the leadership in both the House and Senate, as well as at the governor's office, and say, again, thank you for the second year in a row for taking a real interest in serving veterans and Department of Military Affairs. A lot of what we asked for was included in the final mix, and in the end, we got what we needed. And so I would just say thank you to all of the leadership of the legislature, but also the across the board, all of the legislative staff. They were amazing.
And, of course, pulling together with the Commander's Task Force and Trent Dilks down there and doing Veterans Day on the Hill, it all adds up, doesn't it?
It really does. It certainly doesn't hurt to have an advocate like Trent in your corner.
Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
This is Ben Johnson, the Legislative Director for the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to meet the new DAV Minnesota Commander. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet the new commander of the DAV of Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
In partnership with the Lutheran Social Services, Minnesota Service Corps is a nation-leading program designed to bring essential community-based services directly to veterans and their families across Minnesota at no cost. Due to its unique structure, this program also provides resources to previously underserved areas in greater Minnesota. Services include individual and family counseling, financial counseling, debt management, addiction counseling, disability service, and in-home counseling. The goal is to help veterans and their families to develop skills and draw on their own strengths to bring about successful and lasting family stability. After serving our country selflessly, veterans and their families can know that we stand behind them and we're ready to serve them. For more information or to request services through CORE, contact your CVSO or County Veteran Service Officer or call 1-888-LINK-VET.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, Ellsworth Fields was elected the state commander of Minnesota DAV in April. He's an active member of the Minnesota veteran community. He's a Vietnam-era veteran who served 8 years in the United States Army as a communications chief and administrative specialist. And Commander Fields, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you for having me.
Commander, I'm looking forward to your years coming up. You were just elected a commander of DAV, but I want to back up a little bit. Where did you served in the Army?
Oh, yes, I did. Served, at a number of bases in the U.S. and Germany.
Germany. Tough duty.
Yeah, it was.
All right. And that was back in my era, back in the Vietnam era.
That's correct. In the early 70s, was at the Army Depot in Parmesans.
So you dodged the bullet. You got some good duty over in Germany, and you stuck around for 8 years.
Good duty. Drove about 180,000 miles around the country, hauling Hawk missile warheads and rocket motors.
And somewhere in that time, you must have had an accident of some kind that made you eligible to be a part of the Disabled American Veterans.
That's correct. Some years later, while I was at Fort Sill, I was involved in a heavy wheel vehicle accident and had a back injury.
And so that made you eligible. And how did you ever come to be a member of the DAV of Minnesota?
Well, I think, just due to my military service and my injury, I'd heard about the DAV and had the good fortune to have a colleague at my former employer, IBM, that talked me into working with them as a volunteer. And that's where it all started.
So you enjoyed being a volunteer at DAV, and somewhere along the line, somebody nudged you to go through the chairs.
That's correct, or more likely just kind of tricked me into it.
You got voluntold or volunteered? Anyway, it happened.
Yeah, it was a good day.
So we're looking forward to spending some time with you this year as the new commander of the DAV of Minnesota. Glad you came over to the studio today. One of the big things that we've talked about for years is the DAV's transportation program. Can you describe that to us?
Well, transportation program, we have about 36 vehicles that are deployed across the state of Minnesota, and they provide free rides to any veteran to their VA medical appointments.
All over the state of Minnesota, and you're adding a couple this year. We're going to get to that. But
yes.
Yeah, I understand that all of those drivers are volunteer drivers.
That's correct. All of them are volunteer drivers, and we are always looking for more volunteer drivers. I think it's certainly one of the most fulfilling volunteer jobs you can ever do. And if anyone out there is looking to volunteer, we can happily place you for a day, all week, whatever. We're very flexible on that schedule.
So whatever time you might have, if you've got a valid driver's license and you're a good driver, if you go to davmn.org and look up to be a volunteer driver for the DAV. You work hand-in-hand with the County Veteran Service Officers sometimes?
Absolutely. Yes, the County Veteran Service Officers kind of help to with scheduling in some cases, but usually we have an HSC supervisor there, and all you have to do is call, and you can either arrange a transportation to your appointment, or if you want to volunteer, you can call the same number.
So if you've got one day a week or one day a month available, go to davmn.org and volunteer, and they'll fix you up, and you can take your fellow veterans down for their appointments. This is pretty fulfilling. It feels pretty good, I would think.
Oh, it's absolutely great, because when you're out and riding with your other veterans, you get an opportunity to have some comradeship. You'll get to know the people. It also makes them, the veterans, very comfortable. So it's just a great experience.
They wouldn't be telling any stories, would they, Commander?
Oh, I think a few.
I think they would. Yes. We're speaking with Commander David or Ellsworth Fields of the DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Commander, last year when the legislature was in session, for the first time ever, we had a thing called a Veterans Omnibus Bill. And it was where they took all the veterans' issues, separated them from anything else they were doing at the state legislature, and just took care of that without that extra baggage. This year we were trying to see if we could do the same thing, because that was the first time ever, wasn't it?
That's correct. Last year was the first time ever. And we just wanted the legislature to look at veterans' issues and review them and evaluate them on their own merit. And that way it avoided the veterans' issues getting kind of lost in, you know, other legislation. If other legislation didn't pass, then the veterans were left behind. So
instead of being shoved in those big bills at the end of the year with all the other stuff, we could focus on the veterans. And by far the majority of the elected officials voted for it last year.
Oh, they certainly did. And we were able, again this year, you know, which is history making, again this year, to have an omnibus bill.
Okay, Commander, as Commander of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, you're a member of what's called the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the other seven veteran service organizations, such as the VFW, American Legion, of course, DAV, Marine Corps Leg, and so forth. But the Commander's Task Force gets together monthly, and they put together a list of legislative items they want to work on for the coming year.
That's correct, Tom. What we used to have was a situation where, you know, the legislature was able to kind of divide and, you know, conquer us, because the different service organizations may have different priorities. So what we decided to do was form a commander's task force so that we all sat down together in a room. We decide what our priorities are as a body, and then we drive those forward as a group.
And Commander, you've got a guy on your staff by the name of Trent Dilks, who is the legislative director for the DAV.
Outstanding director. We thank the world of Trent.
He's busy up at the Capitol every year.
Every year, and he has good relationships. I think it is, you know, many of us struggle to find out, you know, what our place in life is or what it is we want to do. Trent has found his, and we're really lucky to have him.
And I understand on Veterans Day in the Hill, he gave a speech, and he got a little bit fired up.
Oh, yes, yeah. Trent's he gives some very great speeches.
Unfortunately, I was here recording, so I couldn't go listen to it, but I heard some stories. He did a pretty good job.
Oh, yes, he does.
And Commander, there's something that he put together on your website that he refers to as Minfluence.
Yes, Minfluence is just an easy way you can use a QR code. You can sign up. You do not have to be a veteran to be involved with Minfluence. If you care about veterans' issues, you can sign up for Minfluence. We don't oversaturate you with messages, but only the important ones, and we ask for your help, and you can come right in with a pre-drafted letter, or you can add your own, and you can send those right to your legislator to get action.
Once again, davmn.org, and Minfluence is M-I-N-N-Fluence. And Commander, understand if you go in there and you click on that and you put in your address, up will come your elected officials in your area and the people that you should talk to if you want to influence them on any veterans' issues.
Absolutely. It's all pre-built in, thanks to Trent, and some programming that we purchased. And that way, the user, the person that's trying to help the veterans, it's pretty seamless for you to use it.
So it makes it pretty easy for our veterans, wherever they live in Minnesota, just go to your website, check on MinFluence, M-I-N-N-Fluence, and find out who their elected officials are and numbers to call, addresses, all that information is there.
Correct. And when we want you to reply to MinFluence, there will be a note that will come out to your email. Again, those are limited notes just on the important and key things and when we need extra people to kind of reach out to the legislators. And that note will come to you, and it's already pre-built, and it has your legislators.
Great tool. Listen. Commander, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to speak more with Ellsworth Fields, the DAV commander here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Ellsworth Fields, who's the commander of the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans. And once again, their website is davmn.org. In case you want to volunteer to be a driver for the van program, and if you want to learn anything about the legislative session, you can go to that website and check out MinFluence. And, Commander, I want to talk about your outdoors program. You've got a robust program that will take us right through the rest of the year.
That we do, Tom. We have a number of activities that occur each year and to get veterans out of the house and out into the wild. And it's not always about, just the getting out. They get an opportunity to have some camaraderie and forget the things that, are pressuring them or are bothering them on a day-to-day.
So it's healthy for them. Get out of the house. Quit worrying about your problems. Get some fresh air. Talk to the guys.
And find out you're not the only one with problems.
And yes. You got quite a list of programs. You want to talk about a few?
Yes. Currently coming up, and I think there are still a few spaces available, the Mississippi River Days at Canoe Trip that will happen on June 25th. And we have various and sundry other activities that happen throughout the years, like the Rainy Lake Boat Trip. That is a make what you want out of it. You can sit and relax. You can fish. You can do whatever. Ontario, Canada, drive-in fishing trips. And, of course, the Disabled Veterans Deer Hunt, which occurred annually. We also have in southern Texas in the December time frame, you're always looking to escape Minnesota for a little bit. We have a wild hog hunt. So
wild hogs.
The trick is to get the DAVMN early. Sign up for these as soon as you can when you see them on the website.
So there's lots of outdoor programs. Once again, davmn.org. And, Commander, you've got your annual golf classic coming up.
Yes, our annual golf classic will be at Crystal Lakes Golf Club in Lakeville, and that's on July 25th. So if anyone's interested in doing that, the primary goal there, it's a foundation-sponsored event to raise funds to purchase vehicles. You talked about the transportation program earlier, and that's one of the ways we purchase vehicles for the program.
Yeah,
we plan to purchase two this year.
Okay.
For the foundation, the department will purchase one. And I'm proud to say we have a brand new one that we just deployed. It's more like a catchment vehicle up in the Anoka area.
Very good. So the Crystal Lake Golf Club in Lakeville, July 25th. It's called the 2023 DAV Golf Classic. You're looking for foursomes, and you're looking for sponsors.
And we're looking for sponsors. Thank you for bringing that up. So if anyone's out there that would like to help sponsor this program, we'd love to have you on board and have you as a partner.
Let's help raise that money so you can buy two vans and have National throw in a third one.
Right, and get our veterans to their appointments free of charge.
Information on that's available at davmn.org once again. And, Commander, you've got another new, I think it's a new program there this year called Hero of the Game.
Yes, a Hero of the Game with the St. Paul Saints. Any veteran out there, you can nominate yourself or you can nominate another veteran. It's free of charge. You will be recognized at the game, a little brief history brought out onto the field, brief history on your service. By the way, get a parking spot up close and personal, and you'll be pampered throughout the game.
So you can celebrate some of our Disabled American Veterans at Hero of the Game.
Absolutely, any veteran.
Commander, we just got about a minute left. Who's eligible to join the DAV?
Any veteran who has been injured, ill, sickened, or gassed can join the DAV. You do not have to be, what people refer to or think of as a typical disabled veteran, maybe as an amputee or whatever, which certainly are members of the Disabled American Veterans. There are a lot of injuries there that, are not visible.
I like the last part of that, ill, sick, or gassed.
Or gassed.
Don't hear that very often, Commander.
Well, it does happen.
Well, I hope it doesn't
happen. Or toxically exposed.
Yes, sir. I was thinking in the old days you might have had gas, but not anymore.
Well, don't forget, I'm older than you, Tom. Well,
all right, sir, you are.
All right.
Commander, lots going on at the DAV in Minnesota, and I hope you have a great year as commander and that you get a chance to come back and see us a few times.
I sure hope to, Tom, and thank you very much for having us. It's been a thrill.
Thank you, sir. That was Ellsworth Fields, the commander of DAV Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. It's good to be with you again.
Sure, it was fun to have you in for the live Memorial Day show. That's a little different experience.
Well, it was good to be in studio. You know, usually it's a short snippet, and this time to spend a little time with you guys was really a treat for me. So I appreciate your giving me that opportunity.
Thanks for joining us on that special day to remember, sir. The Minneapolis VA healthcare system, are things getting back to normal? Or are we still using masks? Have we recovered from that pandemic yet, sir?
Well, you know, recovered is probably a little stronger word than I would use, Tom, but I will say things have gotten very much better. And so, you know, I like to talk about at the peak, we had 50 inpatient COVID veterans here in our hospital, and today we have one. So that has gotten better. We recently went back to our normal visitor policy. We have gone to a mask optional policy in most places of the medical center. You know, we still have some high risk areas, you know, where we require our staff and our veterans to wear masks. But you know, if you're just coming to the medical center and you're not going to one of those high risk areas, mask optional. And I'll tell you, it's really great to see people's faces again.
Yeah, and it's already June, so we'll be coming up on fall pretty soon. Are we anticipating just flu shots this year, or are there going to be some other options?
You know, so there's going to be – we will certainly have a flu campaign again this year. Probably look for that around September, October timeframe when we get our vaccine. We're also still giving the COVID vaccine for certain categories of people like me, old people, you know, who are for me, it'll be my fifth shot of the vaccine. So we're still giving the COVID vaccine. And as we've talked about on your show before, Tom, you know, veterans can get both the flu vaccine and the COVID vaccine at the same time if they rate that. So yeah, that'll be coming up. We're doing the COVID vaccine now. Flu vaccine will be around September, October.
Director, we talked about that last year, but it felt like being back in basic training again. I got the flu shot in one arm and the pandemic shot in the other, the COVID shot in the other arm.
Except we didn't require you to do any push-ups, so that's the one difference.
Well, the gray hair probably took care of that. Director, last year Congress passed an act that we call the PACT Act, and I got kind of two questions on that. Number one, it opened up a window during which our veterans can apply for certain coverage. And number two, I'm wondering if that's showing a huge impact on your business that you do taking care of veterans.
You know, so Tom, I'll answer the first question first. And so the window of opportunity was 1 year, and that 1 year expires on August 10th. And so, you know, again, for veterans who have not yet filed a claim and want to, there's 2 months left. And so, you know, talk to your CVSO, get in there, get your veterans benefits group. You know, our part of that is we do toxic exposure screening, and so we are still doing that. We're doing it a lot. We do it in conjunction with your visit here at the medical center and primary care. And so, yeah, I would the window's closing, and so again, I'd advise people to get in and do it, even if you don't know if you rate anything different. But it is a chance to get in here, get that done, you know, we have seen a little bit of difference in terms of enrollment, a few more enrollees, but there have been a much, much larger number of claims filed, and I think veterans rating a higher level of disability, and in many of those cases, a bigger pension. So it's worth doing it.
So for our veterans, hurry up. You just got a couple months left to get that started.
Yeah.
But they can process it afterwards. Director, yeah. I understand you've had a specialty clinic opening?
Yeah, so when you come in, Tom, for those of you who are familiar with our facility, when you're driving down Veterans Drive and coming to the main medical center, on the left-hand side, we have a brand-new specialty clinic that we're going to cut a ribbon on this month. I mean, it is done. It is ready to go. Just had a couple finishing touches, but that construction is done. And then as soon as we do that, shortly thereafter, we'll get the shovels out and start on the new women's clinic. It's going to be right next to that. So a couple pretty good projects there.
I've been waiting for that women's clinic, Director. Every female veteran or military person I see, they're pretty excited about that.
I'm excited about it, too. It's going to be a good service for our women veterans.
Director, I understand you've been you've had occasion to see the National VA Secretary.
You know, he is a Minnesotan, as I think many of your listeners know. He's from Stillwater and went to St. John's College up in Collegeville. He was here last Monday, and he actually was at our Chippewa Falls Clinic in Wisconsin where we went to see him. And, you know, he was talking about some rural health initiatives and some rural health issues with some of the local governments. While he was here, you know, it was a great opportunity for him to do a little recognition for our staff. He did several coins, and he is just a great guy. He is a very, very strong, energetic advocate for veterans, and I am constantly impressed with his level of energy and support that he gives us, not only in Minneapolis, but everywhere in the VA. He is a great secretary.
Thank you, Director. We're out of time. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Ben Johnson from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Ellsworth Fields from the DAV of Minnesota Commander, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about education benefits for our veterans and meet with members of the state legislature. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota Military Radio.com.